It is a first down and 10 at the 33 of the T-Birds. Right hash. Little stretch handoff here. And Borsa with a juke and a jive. And Borsa off to the races. 10, 5. What a run. Kyle Borsa. And the Rams have the lead. That was a nifty move in the hole.
And the redemption continues. Outstanding run. Couple jukes and then that speed again by Borsa. Just hitting that hole hard all the way to the end zone. Great job by that O-line.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And welcome to another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. This wouldn't be possible without our great sponsors, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, Grain Marketing, Grain Hauling, or Crop Insurance. Give Corey a call at 306-842-2406. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ, ring him up at 306-502-5355. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. He is going to take some grad photos of my son this coming week, and really looking forward to his fine work. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Check their work out at theboysnextdoor.ca, their outstanding website. SAS Selects Football, building the stars of tomorrow today. And just before we get to our homegrown segment brought to you by Riviera Ag Seeds, check out this story. A 30-year-old woman in Phoenix died in a fire last Friday, but her baby survived because of a guy named Philip Banks. He's a former Marine who was a wide receiver in college, and when she dropped her son from a third-floor balcony, he ran in and made the catch of his life.
I just had tunnel vision on the patio, and when the boy got thrown off the balcony, he was twirling in the air like a propeller. His head landed perfectly in my elbow. Instinct, it wasn't much thinking. I just reacted. I just did it. And the mother, she is the real hero in this story because she made the ultimate sacrifice to get her children out.
What an incredible yet tragic story all at the same time. Time now for our homegrown segment where we talk to a current or former Rider player to see what makes them tick. Homegrown is for Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Today in the spotlight, it's Bob Poley. Last time I saw you, Polecat, you were getting ready to do that blow-up apparatus, that Ninja Warrior thing at Regina Beach. How'd you find it?
I just watched my grandson do it. I don't do those things, Ballsy.
You never did that.
I'm too old and fat for that stuff.
I did it. It was fun, but I'm feeling the effects of it now. You're looking good, my friend. Okay, so let's talk about this. What's your best memory as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider?
Well, obviously, when we won the Grey Cup here and we got it back home here. But, I think one of my greatest ones is when I actually made the football team. It was, been a big dream of mine. And, coming from Saskatchewan and born and raised and actually playing in with the Rams here with the junior football team and actually making the football team, that was a pretty exciting time. That was probably one of the biggest moments to actually be on the football team.
Who's your favorite Rider growing up?
I had lots of them. I watched all the old greats, but, probably Ronnie and George, they're great. You know, Bill Baker, he's right up there too. I love watching it back then, and they were so recognizable. There was just, in that era, there was no guys floating around and in and out, but there was some great football players but those guys really stand out. I really watch them.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked Aldag. Who's the best Rough Rider of all time? Is it Lancaster or is it Reed?
Well, I don't know. I won't go there. I don't think, Ballsy. They're all great, but they were great. I don't know. It's hard. There were so many great ones, but obviously Ronnie was the. He was a catalyst. He was a quarterback, coach. He was everything.
Yeah.
Leader, you name it. He did it.
Here's how I put it, Poley, because Aldag wouldn't answer it either. I think Ronnie was the greatest figure in CFL history for what you just said. He was a quarterback. He was a coach. He was a GM. He was a TV broadcaster. Did all of them pretty well. And I think Reed was probably the best Rough Rider of all time, because everybody knew he was getting the ball and he still churned out the yards.
Absolutely. You know, you got that right on the button. It's, you know, he was a great one. He was a great one. And, you know, you got to rank them both up there. But I'd rank a lot of guys up there, too. Yeah. Even Aldag, I think he was pretty good. He can sit in there pretty good, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this one. Can you answer this one for me, Bob Poley? Were you a Burgess guy or an Austin guy?
Well, you know, it was funny. I was in Calgary, and when the era was at, and when I come back in 88, halfway through, I was a big fan of both, you know, and then working my way back in the lineup here. And you know, both those guys were different. You know, obviously, they brought different greatness to the table. But, you know, either one was they were good. It was just good to have them both in there with confidence in both of them. But, you know, obviously Kent, you know, he was the guy that did it at the end there. But Tommy would, without Tommy, we wouldn't have been there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, how do you put a button on that? But I love them both.
What I found interesting about that whole thing, Bob, is that you guys had two good quarterbacks and the room didn't seem to be divided. Was that the case?
That's exactly right. You know, and they were you know, good friends, and they helped each other, and it was good. But, you know, I'd say we had three great ones. You know, Benny was pretty good too, and he was sitting in the wings, and he did a lot of other things too. And, you know, it was just like everybody pulling the rope, and at that that team was unbelievable that way. We didn't have, you know, great superstars, but I tell you what, we had a lot of good football players, and everybody pulling the rope, and it showed at the end.
You played with the Riders for your like first six or seven seasons, didn't make the playoffs, went to Calgary. Aldag told me it was the only time he hung up on you because you called him to say we made the playoffs. Do you remember that?
Well, you bet I did. And you know, when we actually knocked the Rough Riders out by winning that game. But I had to phone my good friend, and I was so happy to finally make the playoffs. And he had been around the playoff run there a little bit in 76, and I just had to rub it in a little bit, but he did hang up on me. I can't believe, but it was 2 or 3 in the morning, so I guess that's probably why too.
How weird was it for you to put on some Calgary Stampeder colors?
Well, you know, that was another thing. You know, when I first ran across the field, going to visit a dress room, and ran across Taylor Field, and at that time, and sitting on that dark side, there's some rowdy old fans over there, and they're pretty boisterous, and they made sure that you were not liked over there. But yeah, it was a different feeling, Baldy. You know, obviously, you know, playing all my football career here and then going there, but it was just one of those things. You know, it's a, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a job, and you kind of adjust. But yeah, it was different, but you know, I always told everybody I look pretty good in red and white, but probably look better in green and
white.
Yeah,
you did look better in green and white. And how poetic was it for you, and fitting was it for you to come back 88 and be on that run to end the playoff drought here, and then take off in 89 and win the Grey Cup with your buddy Roger Aldag?
Yeah, you know, that was unbelievable. I was fortunate enough to come back, and you know, Bill Baker was a big part of that. He brought me back here, and I, you know, fit in not too bad with all the other fellas and the team. And then we made that big run in 89. You know, 88, I thought they had a pretty good shot here too. I only came halfway, but boy, it was a pretty nice football team, and they were winning, and everybody was clicking. But you know, we took another step in 89, and it paid off.
What do you remember about that winning field goal?
You know, I guess what when Suter was, we were in the huddle, and then I tell the story a little bit, and I had the boys huddled up a little away from the tee where Dave put it down, and I looked over there, and we had called a timeout, and then Hamilton called a timeout, and so we had a little bit of time to think about it, and Suter was talking to Dave and kind of laughing, and so I walked over there, and I'm all wound up, and you know, the last 9 seconds, and we pumped this through, and it's we got him, and he's talking about some young lady in the seventh row or ninth row of she had a red sweater on, I believe, and She was very well endowed and telling Ridgeway all about her. And I'm looking at these two guys, and I said, listen, you boneheads, once I throw it and Suter, you touch it, it's not my problem anymore. Suter says, when I pin it, it'll be his problem. And that was the rest is history, I guess, it popped it through. But what I did know after is what Glenn did was unbelievable. He got Dave's mind off that pressure and calmed him down and pumped it through.
Did you feel any pressure snapping that ball back? Because it is you're used to doing it all the time, so it becomes kind of boring. But when you got everything on the line, your whole career on the line, ending the Grey Cup drought, were you nervous at all snapping that thing back?
Not really. No, I never thought about it. I knew I just have to get it back there and make sure I get it back there. And you know, I wasn't nervous or anything about it. It's just part of the job, I guess. But I thought about it after, and I tell you what, Ballsy, we wouldn't have this conversation. I would have been run out of Saskatchewan pretty quick here. That thing would have flew over his head.
Is that the highest number 57's ever jumped when that ball went through?
I was getting kind of drilled a little bit on the line, and so I dove out there, and the next thing you know, I was eating the grass and nobody there, and Raj took the two guys on, but I jumped when I looked up and I saw her going down the pipe. Boy, I tell you what, my vertical was at least 12 inches, I think, that time.
That's awesome. And just tell us, remind us of the scene. I told Aldeg this a few weeks ago. When Ovechkin won the Stanley Cup, but you would have sworn he was the only guy that won the Stanley Cup because he held that thing tightly. You and Aldeg didn't let anybody else touch that Grey Cup, and fittingly so. What was it like to bring that back to the stadium and have the stadium full on that cold day when you brought it back?
It was phenomenal. And the fans were all out, and that whole side was packed, and it was cold. They always said we kind of hogged it, but I tell you what, we were sitting in the room the night we won it, and the cup was sitting up on the stage, and I looked around, and you know, the offensive line always has to be the last ones to leave because they got to make sure all the beer get drank, and I looked around, nobody took the Grey Cup, and so I said to Rod, I guess we're going to have to take this thing. And the next thing you know, we hung on to it. So I guess it was, hats off to Al Ford and the organization for allowing me and the big dog to yank it back and put it on Taylor Field turf. It was pretty awesome.
Hey, who's the toughest guy you ever played against?
Toughest?
Yeah.
Probably Dave Fennell.
Yeah.
He'd be up there. He banged me around a little bit, but you know, Randy Troutman, and I didn't get to, I got to play with Randy, and the Trout was with Calgary, but I watched many a battle with Aldeg and him, and he come in the nose once in a while, but not very often, but boy, he was tough. He ranked right up there. He could do it all, and Dave Fennell in his prime, he was one of the greatest ones.
Hey, when you get up in the morning, are you reminded of playing in the trenches all those years? And what I mean by that is, what are your lasting ailments, I guess, from football, Bob?
Well, I've got a bad knee. It's going to be replaced here very soon. And my lower back is all banged up. And my hip, my right hip is bad. And other than that, Ballsy, my mind is kind of dull, but it's not too bad. I guess everything else seems to be going, but no, I'm beat up, and that's part of the deal. You know, as soon as you do that, it's a very violent game, and I was fortunate enough to play a long time. And, you know, like old Lancaster used to say, play as long as you can and then try to fool them one more, and the old body got it. But I fooled them for 15 years, that's for sure.
Any regrets playing?
No. No, I'd do it all again, and you know, I'd spin it all again. You bet. It was the most wonderful time.
What do you miss most about the game, Bob Poley?
I think I miss the guys. The game's the game, but I really miss the guys. And when I run into them once in a while now, and being back here in Saskatchewan and with the Alumni Association, it's wonderful. We reminisce all the time, and you know, as the years go by, we got better. Did you know that? We're really good now.
Yeah, the stories get better. Yeah, the stories get better.
But I miss the boys.
Hey, you're back. Yeah, you're back in Saskatchewan. How does that feel? I know you went out west and you sold your place. You came back. How does it feel to be back home?
Absolutely great. It's exactly what you said. It's home. And my wife and me always said Saskatchewan's our home. And back we came. And Boy, we love it. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful.
I'll tell you what, man, I can speak to this. I've been at many a dinner emceeing. I've had Curtis Joseph on the stage, other NHL guys, and when Bob Poley's on the docket, everybody flocks to this guy. The NHL guys go, who is this guy? I said, you'd only wish to be half as popular as this guy in Saskatchewan. Bob Poley, the great Bob Poley, joining us here. Thanks for this, Polecat.
All right, Balls, anytime.
And just before I wrap up Growing the Game with Ballsy, what is Bombers president and CEO Wade Miller smoking? Because he said CFL fans will brave the winter cold for live football. Miller was talking about a potential shortened season starting in December. Everything's on the table to figure out a way to play. We're Canadians. We can sit outside any time of the year. If Green Bay Packer fans can sit outside in January, we can as well. Well, Wade, Packer fans don't sit outside the entire month of January. Does anybody want to go to Winnipeg indoors in the winter, let alone outdoors? I joke. I don't even want to watch winter football outside in Regina, and I have to cover the games. BC Place, the Big O, or the Sky Dome are the only places to play December, January, and February football. And I repeat this, and I'll always repeat this. Football played below zero isn't football weather. Anybody that says that and isn't an offensive lineman that likes to roll up their sleeves and be a macho man is just dumb. Don't talk to me about player safety then. Ask an American backup defensive back from Alabama if he wants to play in minus 15 Celsius for 20 grand American on a prorated contract. Wade Miller, cool it, because grown-ups is talking.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.